Welcome to Super Tatis for Shavuos, a special edition. I have only really one story and a couple quick divrei Torah to help the fathers out there. The story is about Rosh Hashanah Zalman Orbach. Apparently, there was a drusha that was given once at a Sheva Brachos based on the Pasuk in Mishlei and the Gemara in Sota. Pasuk in Mishlei says that Torah is yakara himipninim. He says it's more valuable than, it just seems like it's talking about jewels. But Chazal Darshan in the Gemara in Sota, Daf Dalet, that this is talking about mikoin gadol shenichnas lifnai v'lifnim. So pniniim also can mean going inside, the one who goes in. So it says that Torah is more precious than the kohen gadol going in. So Rosh Hashanah Zalman asks a question. He said, "Hey, I don't get it. You know, like his question, like why don't we just say you could say it's more valuable than gems? Gems are obviously very, very valuable." Says, you know what? It's not that way. If you go into the shuk and you see a pile of cucumbers, you know, nobody's going to say that a diamond is more valuable than cucumbers. They don't belong in the same sentence. Says the same thing with Torah. Torah doesn't belong in the same sentence as jewelry. Jewels are just, they're so far away from the value. So what does it have to do? It has to compare it to actually the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol is, you know, you think of the apex and the, you know, the highest thing with respect to Kedusha, and with respect to Kirvas Hashem and everything else going into the Kodesh Kadashim. And he says, you know what, Torah? That's what we need, because those are in the same ballpark. So I thought that that was a very interesting, powerful comment to make. I saw a beautiful ha'ara on the famous story about Rabban Gamliel, who basically made a rule. The Gemara in Brachos says that Rabban Gamliel made a rule with respect to who could go learn in the yeshiva in Yavne. That ended up getting him in trouble. But the rule was anybody who wasn't Tocho Kaboro, their inside and their outside weren't consistent, meaning they looked one way and they really were another one. They couldn't enter the base medrash. They couldn't learn there. I have questions about how many people could get in, but I heard in the name of Chaim Shmulevitz the following kasha. It was, how did he know? How did he test who couldn't get in? I mean, eventually this was highly controversial and it got him in, you know, it was part of the things that got him in trouble, but how would he know if somebody's Tocha Kaboro? What do you ask? What's the test? Rechaim Shmulevitz said, it's very simple. There's one way to test if somebody's Tocha Kaboro. Tell them that they can't go into the base medrash and see if they'll fight you. See if they'll put up a fight. Say, no, I have to go in. This is my life. Somebody who does something like that, you can see that the way that they're presenting themselves externally is the way that they really are internally. But there is Musar also for all of us in that we need to remember that there's a value to showing up in the base medrash. There's a value to setting chavrusas. But all of this is not a proxy for the actual work itself. The inyan is kvias itin the Torah. We set times to learn Torah, not a chavrusa. If your chavrusa is late, do you open up the sefer right away? If if you show up at the base medrash and nobody's watching, are you going to act in the same way? That's the idea of also being Tocha Kaboro in such an instance. There's a interesting machlokas amongst the great gedolim of whether or not somebody should stand up for a pregnant woman, because we have a mesora from the Gemara Nida that a baby, a fetus is learning in utero, kolatura kula, and they're learning all these things that, you know, they have to go relearn in this world. But right there, it seems like they're at a great level of greatness in Torah. So I saw that Rav Ovadia Yosef would stand up for a pregnant woman due to this, and Rav Chaim Brisker would not. What's the idea of this machlokas? So I actually can see that this is actually, you could say it has the same answer as another machlokas, which I saw, or another seeming stira in two Gemaras and Horios, which are right next to each other. Is one is a list of things which will make you remember your learning, and things which will make you forget your learning. The things that will make you forget your learning includes haragil v'zeisim, somebody who commonly eats olives. But with respect to the things which will make you remember your learning is eating olive oil. And anybody who has seen olive oil knows that there's only one ingredient in olive oil, and that's olives. So either olives are good for your memory or they're bad for your memory. So what's the difference between olives and olive oil? So it's, I would suggest that it's symbolic, is that the difference between olives and olive oil is a lot of pressing and a lot of work. In other words, it's a melus. Somebody who wishes to take something off a tree and stick it in their mouth immediately without any work, that is a person who's not going to have any success in their learning. They're going to forget what they learn. They may have a couple good days of memory, but eventually it catches up with them. But somebody who really, really works to get it in their head, they do chazara, they try to understand it with amkus, somebody like that, they're going to remember their learning. So it's the amelus that we're machshiv. So the same thing could be said here, is that the machlokas between Rav Avadya Yosef and Rav Chaim Brisker is, Chaim Brisker said, this kid, you know, they're getting told everything. They didn't have to do any work. And Rav Avadya Yosef said, no, I mean, they did it. They're learning, though. So, but it's the chashivos of the amelus. I had a chavrusa who once went to the Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Lichtenstein Zecher Tzadik Levrocha, and was lamenting, even though in many years of yeshiva, he had not yet reached the levels of learning that he had hoped to attain, which I think is probably a common sentiment amongst everybody who's trying to attain, you know, greater and greater levels of learning. But, you know, he had, I guess, a moment of agony, turned to Rav Lichtenstein and said, why can't I just wake up tomorrow morning and be a Talmid Chacham? And to this, Rav Aaron responded, as if on cue, woe to he who wishes to skip the process. Meaning to say, don't you want to do the Amelus? This is part of your life. The Amelus process is what we're supposed to be machshev. Don't give that up. It's precious itself. Next, we should talk about the concept of the Mem Ches Kinyanei Torah. I believe we covered this in last week's Super Tatis for the Parsha, but there are 48 ways to acquire the Torah, which are listed in the last parak of Avos, and one of which is called Hamakiris Makomo, which is you recognize your place. The only problem is it's extraordinarily enigmatic. What does it mean to say that you recognize your place? So I'll give you five pshatim. Rashi says it means you need to know the sugya you're learning in, meaning, you know, it's hard to be encyclopedic about everything, but you need to be able to focus, you know, on where you are. The Machzor Vitri says this means you need to know your spot on the base medrash. There's an inyan, an idea of being koveya, a spot in the base medrash, and you need to make sure that you actually do your job and sit and learn there. Medrash Shmuel adds that really this means that you're supposed to learn in the base medrash. So a lot of wonderful learning happens at home. A lot of wonderful learning happens, you know, in the car. A lot of wonderful learning happens when you're listening to a shir. You know, on your, you know, on your device or whatever it is, but your place is in the base medrash. Abarbanel says there's something more, is that you need to know where you're holding, meaning as a person with respect to midos, with respect to everything else. If you're not a Rosh Yeshiva, maybe you don't want to act like a Rosh Yeshiva. You know, if you're not the Shafal Shebishvelim, maybe you shouldn't act like the Shafal Shebishvelim. You don't want to jump too high to a level which does not represent you, and you do not want to sink too low to a level that does not represent you either. We need to be where we are, and that is good enough. The Medrash Shmuel adds one additional one, and that is Makiris Makomu, is we need to remember that our real spot in life is Olam Haba. We are in this world. It's like a pruzdur. This is the antechamber to the real palace and the real party. And if we live like that, then we're going to be able to acquire Torah. Last subject for today, one more of the Kinyanei Torah, I think is very very important just to mention, and I'll leave it at this. There's a ton to say, but one of them is Miut Shena, is not sleeping a lot. So it doesn't say that you don't sleep, but it also says that you shouldn't sleep so much. The problem is that we have a Yalkut Shimoni that says the following thing, right at Bracious, is the Dine Tov Ma'od. It was very good. Zoha Shena, this is sleeping. Why? V'chi Shena Tov Ma'od mitoch shehu yashan kima hu omed v'yaga b'tera harbi. It's very simple. He says, if you learn a little bit of, if you sit and go to sleep for a little bit, you can learn with so much more strength. So here we already start feeling the pull and tug in between two different values. One, on the one hand, shmiras haguf, taking care of yourself, making sure that everything is well. But on the other hand, there needs to be a negotiation in between that and the man hours and the quality production of your Torah. So how do we figure out how much to sleep? There's actually a lot in the poskim about it, whether or not a lower limit maybe of 4 hours or a limit of 8 hours based on drushas and gematrias and everything else. But the Magen Avraham in Orach Chaim, Simon Reish Lamed Ches, says that there are people who say you need to get up so early in the night to learn, and some people say you need to sleep 8 hours, and he says, you know what, it just depends on who you are. The Taz in Evan Ezer, Simon Chaf Hei, adds that there are Tamidei Chachomim who sleep very, very little, and they learn a ton. And then there are Tamidei Chachomim who sleep a lot so that they have the koach to really, really get the most potency out of their learning. And in truth, they could probably learn in 1 hour as much as other people learn in 2 hours. There's legitimacy to both of these approaches. Both of them have something to say. Both of them apply, and you need to figure out which one is best for you. That obviously applies to Shavuos Mishmor and so many other things. Thank you all for learning with me.